Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you. Going to talk some Rockies baseball as they take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Final game of a three-game set. 7:30 pregame, 8:10 first pitch. Again, another late one in Los Angeles. Jenny Kavnar joining us with our Root Sports Rockies update. Jenny, always good to have you on. How's it been out on the West Coast for you?
It's been good. I think, you know, the Rockies kind of started to find their groove and unfortunately had a tough one last night.
We were talking yesterday about this team, and boy, the last two starts before last night, even, you know, last night wasn't bad after the three-run homer. Eddie Butler was really, really good after that. But John Gray and Tyler Chatwood, of late, especially with Gray, have consistently been guys you can depend on. I mean, we went into the season, you know, thinking Jorge De La Rosa was going to be the number one, and it was supposed to be that way. But Tyler Chatwood and John Gray are kind of emerging as those go-to guys right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're definitely becoming the front runners of your rotation, no doubt about it. I think Tyler Chatwood specifically, for a guy that had two Tommy John surgeries now and made that comeback this year, what he's doing, especially his numbers on the road, just absolutely impressive. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, Walt Weiss has always kind of labeled him as a bulldog, and he's really living up to that name. He's been a stopper. And then for, I think, John Gray to come on as strong as he has as of late, I don't think it's surprising by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely been impressive because I think we saw, you know, a John Gray that was on a leash last season, mm-hmm. and now you're letting a John Gray kind of run free, and this kid is absolutely impressive with, you know, his strikeout pitches. And I asked him the other day if, you know, he really prefers more the mentality of striking guys out than pitching to contact, and he said, yeah, absolutely, that's what I'm there to do. And I don't think Coors Field has seen a pitcher like that in quite some time.
That's exactly what we were talking about, trying to think back of when there was as powerful and potentially dominant a pitcher that could just, you know, blow a fastball by you. And I was thinking, would Ubaldo maybe be the last
yeah.
one?
Yeah, I would think so. I really would. I think when you talk about power pitchers, that's what got me excited more specifically coming into the season, because you look at that Troy Tulowitzki trade, and that's what you got in the Jeff Hoffman, and that's what you have in a Kyle Freeland down in your farm system. Those guys aren't trying to induce ground balls. They're trying to strike guys out. And I think, you know, if fans are patient enough and can wait and, you know, get through possibly another month or two, I'm not saying those two are coming up this year, mm-hmm. but if they do, you're going to see some powerful arms, not just every fifth day from John Gray or, you know, a bulldog competitor from Tyler Chatwood, but you might see some every day, which is really exciting.
But don't you get... Doesn't it seem like that's the way that pitching is going these days and has been for the last few years? Those power arms, we've seen it with the Mets and their power arms, and some of these pitchers that are throwing mid-upper 90s as starters, not just coming out of the bullpen.
Right.
It's shifted that way the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think it did. I think, you know, baseball ebbs and flows, and we're kind of in that era right now where you have the pitchers that are those power arms. You know, I think in years past you've gone through kind of the stretches where you have pitchers that pitch to contact or location type pitchers, ground ball inducers, et cetera. And now you really do. As hitters, you're in a really tough place in this league because you do want to jump on teams and attack them earlier, but it's that much harder now. You know, you're getting those 95 plus from start to finish, and the plus-plus is coming on the back end with guys coming out of the bullpen that can throw close to 100, and the Rockies have some of those arms now, too. So it's making the game really exciting.
And maybe, and I was just thinking about this, how pitchers have always struggled at Coors Field with whether it be their off-speed stuff or not breaking, you know, the curveball's not breaking as much. Maybe it's just you need to throw 98 miles an hour, and that'll solve all the issues at Coors Field, possibly. I don't know what to think
yeah.
about that, but maybe that's something that we'll have to watch over the coming years with these power arms coming through.
Yeah, I've thought about that for a long time. I think, you know, again, you have to have that balance, because if every guy just goes mm-hmm. up there and throws 98 the whole time, maybe that's why we have an increase in Tommy John surgery, too, right now. So I don't know if that's the answer, but I would like to think so. I mean, a form of baseball that I've always enjoyed watching are, you know, the excitable pitcher that can go out there and give you a duel every night. I was lucky enough in 2007 when I was at the Padres to watch Jake Peavy in his prime. That's the year he won Cy Young, pitch every 5 days. And that guy was such a competitor, and it made you so excited to be at a baseball game. And then, of course, when he would match up with a guy on the other side that was just as exciting, you get in those close run, you know, one-run games. And at Coors Field, I'm not sure that's possible, but I think, you know, we've seen it a little bit. At the same time, we saw Chris Russon have two complete games last year at Coors Field, and he's not a power pitcher. So I'm not sure it's the only answer, but I think it's certainly one of the answers.
Jenny Kavanaugh, our guest, our Root Sports Rockies update. Rockies and Dodgers wrapping up a three-game set tonight. I want to go kind of outside of Rockies here and get your thoughts on, like, base brawls. We had another one last night with the Orioles and Royals. And, you know, the Royals pitcher, Ventura, has been known. He's kind of quirky there, and he plunked Manny Machado. But it was only after Manny Machado had problems with the guy coming inside on him, which is going to happen. And then, you know, he had some talk some trash, and then the fight started after getting hit. Where do you stand on baseball fights and codes and stuff like that within the game of baseball?
I mean, there's part of me that wants to say it's really exciting, because growing up in the 80s, I feel like we saw a lot more fights in baseball than we do, you know, modern day fights. But I don't know. I think it's a fine line if you allow guys to, you know, start disrespecting each other and, you know, these brawls to happen. I think that aggression is going to overflow, and it's going to start becoming a trend that is not necessarily one that you want to let get out of control. At the same time, I mean, if you feel disrespected in this game, there's one way to solve it. You can either go play hard, and if you have an opportunity to match up directly against the other person that you're, you know, upset with, you can just show them up in another way, but I don't think that's really happening these days. I think the fists are doing some talking along with the words. I don't know that I mind it, though. I mean, if it's not getting out of control, you know, it is what it is. I think there's a history to it in this game, and I don't mind it. Do you mind it? I mean, I'm curious what other people think.
I don't mind it. I think it's kind of fun to watch and talk about. I think the thing is, though, punches are landing now as opposed to the slap fights.
That's a very good point. It's not just the taunting fist. The fists are actually making contact with the face, and guys are a lot stronger now, too. So, it's not mixed martial arts, but maybe you guys we'll have to start learning that.
I have more of a problem with a guy like Manny Machado having an issue with being pitched inside. I mean, that's the game.
Absolutely. And yes, I have a huge problem with that too. That's, you know, if that's a part of the plate that the pitcher has success, that you have to learn how to hit that if you don't want to swing at it and you don't want to get a strike called on you. And so I would agree with you on that.
Jenny Kavanaugh joining us, our Root Sports Rockies update. Rockies Dodgers tonight, 8:10 first pitch, their final game of a three-game set before they come home for three against San Diego. I'm always curious, and baseball is such a weird game. The Rockies have had all kinds of problems with San Diego, yet go to Chicago and win two out of three. They played well against the Dodgers. It's always interesting to see matchups and see teams struggle with one team and maybe not struggle with another. You just never know what you get in this game sometimes.
You never do, and I think matchups are a big part of it. I think the Dodgers lineup is a lot different than what we've seen before. You don't have a Puig in there with Adrian Gonzalez back-to-back, and, you know, you start to talk about the lows in San Diego. Petco Park's a tough place to play at, and it really depends on how it's playing that night, and definitely no excuse for the Rockies because they've played poorly there for the last couple of years. But they also played poorly at Dodger Stadium, and last night if they, you know, would have pulled that game out, if it would have gone to extra innings, that's the first time they would have won a series in a couple of years in Los Angeles. So the West Coast woes are real for Colorado. They've found a way to win at AT&T Park for some reason over the last couple of years, but you're right, it's a very strange game. You also look at the teams they play, the teams they've lost to. The Cincinnati Reds are not a good baseball team on paper, and the Rockies struggled big time with them. Luckily, that season series is over, just 7 games, but I think they only pulled out two. They've struggled with the Padres, as you mentioned, who are not a good baseball team. For the Rockies to get back towards that 500 mark before All-Star break, they're going to have a tough time. They need to string together some wins. There's no doubt about it. You want to focus on winning series, but you have to go on some sort of run, and the Rockies really haven't been able to do that this year. They've had a couple games here and there. I think their highest win streak is 5, but their highest losing streak is 5. So, you know, it's definitely been a rough go for them as of late, and hopefully they can string together at least a win tonight and find a way to win at Coors Field. That's been the biggest issue for the Rockies this year as they head home.
I thought the best question last night for Brian Fuentes on the Toyota Twitter takeover was yours on how he likes his almonds.
Yeah, I thought so too. They didn't even put it on the broadcast. So
no?
I was like, don't I have some insight here? No. It was great. It's always fun to follow along with those guys. And I think he said he liked them chocolate-covered, right?
Chocolate-covered, yes.
The only way to eat them. Yeah,
roasted and chocolate-covered, I think.
Roasted and chocolate-covered. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Brian Fuentes having some success post-baseball, which is always good to see with his almond farming up in Northern California. But, yeah, those guys have been really fun. We have some cool surprise guests coming your way in June. So I think some fans are going to get excited.
Very good. Jenny, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy LA, and I'm sure you're excited to get back home as well. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.